that they wanted. For example, the phrase Israeli apartheid is not permitted to be used in Canada. No one will publish that phrase. And yet that's the title of Jimmy Carter, the ex-US president's book on Palestine. He uses the phrase Israeli apartheid, but you cannot use it in Canada. I told you about the United Nations vote, 46-1, to condemn Israeli settlements, the one being Canada. Even the United States, even Israel, didn't vote against it, only Canada. So you can see this has all been building up. And I don't know why, I can't explain why, the Harper government has decided that it must be not just the most friendly country towards Israel, but openly identifying with the extreme right-wing Likud government of Netanyahu and Lieberman, the closest things to fascism that the Israeli state has ever produced. And so most people are bemused. Did they think there were votes in it? I doubt it. Is it some kind of bizarre ideological last ditch clinging to the Bush neocon ideology? Probably. But maybe there's another explanation. I don't know why.
One of the premises for denying you entry and the accusations is your stances regarding Afghanistan and the NATO and allied forces there. Now, as far as I know, what you have been supporting and campaigning for has been bringing back the troops, that is, removing them from harm's way. Now, that should be something quite attractive to the people and the government of Harper, Stephen Harper. Now, where is the contradiction here? Are they still supporting the...
Well,
go ahead.
Well, actually, you know, the Canadian Armed Forces have proportionately lost more soldiers than anyone else as a proportion of the force that they have there. And more people in Canada are asking why their young men are coming home dead in boxes. For what? For a policy started by Bush and Blair and continued now really by Harper. They're asking if this war is achieving anything, if it's solving anything, or if it will not have to in the end come to a negotiated settlement. And if it is to be so in the end, why not now? I've never been to Afghanistan. I've never met a Taliban. I'm not sure the Canadian government even knew what my views about the war in Afghanistan were. I have not been prioritizing this question, but I do believe that the war in Afghanistan is doomed. Even Alexander the Great failed to successfully occupy Afghanistan, and Mr. Harper isn't Alexander the Great, I can assure you.
George, so we're quickly running out of time. If I could just wrap it up with you very shortly. You're currently in the States, and I'd like to ask, what is it exactly that you're planning to do there? Is it going to be another speaking tour?
I'm on a tour of the whole of the United States under the slogan, Palestine is the key. It's the key to the crisis between the East and the West, the non-Muslim world to the Muslim world. If Palestine is not solved with justice, there will be no peace. In the region, if there's no peace in the region, there'll be no peace in the world. That's a message that the United States needs to hear, not least because no U.S. politician can deliver it, because the pro-Israel lobby would destroy their political career before they got out the door. By the grace of God, I don't have to be afraid of that. I'm afraid only of God. So I can speak clearly and can speak straight, and that's what I'm doing to big audiences in the United States. And I'm grateful, as always, to Press TV for giving me the chance to talk about it.
And in 20 seconds, George Galloway, how well has your message been received by the people in the States?
Fantastic. I'm trying to get the people of the United States to run a convoy, an aid convoy, a Viva Palestina aid convoy from the United States to Gaza. Watch this space. It's going to be an even bigger and better show than the one that Press TV covered when our British convoy reached Gaza on March the 9th.
Well, that was George Galloway, a member of the British House of Commons, joining me. And thank you, Mr. Galloway, for your appearance and insight, and to you for staying on board and watching us. You can touch base through the email address, and for more information, how about logging onto our website? But until we meet again on another edition of Four Corners, It's goodbye from me, Zubin Zarvan.
British Prime Minister Gordon Brown has outlined the conclusions of the G20 summit. He announced a G20 agreement to pump an additional $1 trillion into the troubled global economy through extra funding for groups like the International Monetary Fund. North Korea has threatened to attack major targets in Japan if Tokyo intercepts a satellite Pyongyang plans to launch this weekend. Japan, South Korea, and the United States have accused the North of disguising a ballistic missile test as the launch of a communication.